Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and today we have Silvina Vergara, who is our guest. Silvina is one of our instructors. Hi, Silvina.
Hi, David. Pleasure to be here with all of you. Thank you.
So we've got what I normally do in the show is we set an intention for the show. So what would you like the intention to be for our show today?
The intention for the show today could be deep connectedness and joy.
So funny, because deep, I mean, if I ask other people, it's like a lot of people kind of balk at that. And it's, whenever I ask you, you always come up with the perfect thing. It's so cool. deep connectedness. Okay,
and
so
joy.
And joy. Okay, deep connectedness and joy. That's our intention for today.
Yes.
Nice. Before we start, though, before we continue, let me tell people about some of the things happening at the school, because there's some interesting stuff going on. We just started our semester in the certificate and associate degree program in both sound healing and audio recording. You could still jump in if you're interested. We also have the program going online for both sound healing and audio production as well. And you could jump into that right now as well. Actually, the online has ongoing enrollment. But the other thing that's happening is we've got now meetups every other week. We just had one last night, so the next one is February 15th. And that's like toning, chanting, and mantra, and it's just $5. So if you're in the area, you can come on down from 7 to 9 on Friday nights. If you're not in the area, get on the plane. Get on the plane. otherwise, on February 17th, we have a big to-do happening, a big to-do. We've got an open house, grand opening of our new sound healing store, and book release party for my new book. And we've got Karma Moffat is going to be doing a whole concert, a free Tibetan bowl concert. And we're just opening our sound healing store. We're going to have 60 crystal bowls, regular bowls, and alchemical bowls. We'll have Tibetan bowls, tingshas, gongs, didgeridoos, hand drums, sacred geometry structures, all types of stuff, tuning forks, and full range of things here. And we'll be selling them all online as well. It'll take us a few weeks to get it all up online, but we'll be selling it all there as well. And so people are going to be playing. It's going to be a playground. We're going to play. We're going to have food for everybody. We're going to have, again, a sound and stuff. So if you can make it, that would be great. February 17th from 1 to 6 p.m. But the other thing is I just finished my book. I've been working on it for 48 lifetimes. I've been working on it for a long time. And it's really the only book in the field that really goes through all the aspects of sound healing. A lot of people do books in the field that are really cool and tuned in different aspects, everything from chant and mantra and toning to even the technological side. But in this book, I cover everything, how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, from all different perspectives. It's still only the tip of the iceberg as to what's out there, but it's the full range from everything that can be done with sound at all different levels and all the different instruments. And the book will be ready on February 17th. If you can check it out at the website is Complete Guide to Sound Healing, CompleteGuideToSoundHealing.com, and you can get the book right now and order it. People are ordering already, and we'll have it available in about a week and a half. And you can get the online version as well, and you can get an interactive online version where it's got tons of sounds and examples of different instruments and different techniques that you can listen to interactively as well. So again, the complete guide to sound healing, and we'll have it at the open house, and we'll be talking about it there as well. So a lot of stuff going on. You can always find us at soundhealingcenter.com, or go to call 415-777-2486, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Cool. So I want to say a few things about you, although it's interesting. It's always kind of bizarre introducing someone, because, you know, the truth is everybody is a pure soul connected to spirit. And any time, it seems like when I'm introducing people, it's always diminishing the full depth of what they are and who they are. But I do it anyway. You know, we'll do it anyway. Sylvina, I love Sylvina. Sylvina has been one of her instructors for years now. I've seen her also just grow and get unbelievably powerful. I think of Sylvina as a deep shaman. But she is not just some. There are some shamans that are really deep and powerful. But Sylvina's got this extra component to her that is unbelievable. She is overflowing with love. So she's not just a deep shaman. She brings this amazing amount of love. Often when she sings, I'm just in tears. I'm just in tears. And her workshops is so funny. It's like after her workshop, I'll talk to people in the workshop, and I'll say, what happened? And they'll say things like, oh, my God. This one woman said, we went to outer space. And I said, oh, cool. And she said, no, we really went to outer space. And then another woman, like after her workshop, I said, well, how was it? And she said, it was great. We're all on the floor bawling like babies. She's really good at taking you into this deep trance state and releasing deep emotional issues in the most powerful way I've ever seen anybody in the field do. She's really quite amazing as far as what you do. And I'm just so grateful for what you do. It's really, really incredible. So based on that introduction, tell us who you are.
Thank you so much for such introduction. I feel like, oh my gosh, oh, what are you saying? You know, thank you so much. It's hard to really introduce myself. You know, I always had a little bit of hard time to talk about, you know. The only thing that I always repeat and I say, sound healing for me is a flashlight to go into the shadow. I found through the years, I started to study and work with sound in a form of sound healing, and since 1994, before, I was exploring classical singing, being trained in opera and musical theater and different kind of variety of type of singing. And in 1996, I went to Italy and I gave a recital, a classical recital, and I couldn't sing after that from the space of performing anymore. Something happened. Something really, really, really shifted after I started to do sound healing and from a different space, singing from the heart and allowing the energies to come through and connecting to people. So when I finished that recital in Italy, I felt so empty and said, it should be something else. And it was a tremendous transformation for me, because after that, I stopped singing from the performance space for 2 years. And I was lost. Literally, I was lost, because it was like the dissolution of the singer. And that's what I definitely like to share. I was born in Argentina, so I'd just like to make that clarification, because when I talk from Italy and with my accent. But definitely, that was the most powerful experience. And of course, I used sound all those 2 years to understand what happened to me, and there was a tremendous transformation. And definitely, I noticed my voice also was changing. We start, when we expand our consciousness and we reach a higher energies and consciousness, our voices start to shift as well. So, and that's what I noticed. And it's a constant discovering. It's a constant work.
How did it unfold? I mean, did it start when you started playing crystal bowls, or after you went through the transformation? I assume it was a process to really find that space where you were comfortable to just go to other dimensions and really just let it flow and let the sound come through you. How did that process happen for you?
Well, it was a parallel process of a spiritual work and self-awareness and a lot of inner work, emotional work, and of course the background in, you know, doing hypnotherapeutic work and therapeutic massage and studying different healing modalities, and at the same time doing the sound. And I started in 1994 to study with Tom Kenyon. Yes, and I really, there where the transformation started, when I listened the first time in my life, a crystal bowl there, and I was shaking, and I said, well, what is this? And then from there, and I went, I talked to him, and I said, you know, I felt that my whole body was moving, you know, in 1994, and coming from the classical background, and nobody really knew much about crystal bowls in that time. And there where everything started. So it was a parallel work of inner work and singing at the same time. The psychological, the emotional, the physical, and the voice at the same time. So I will say like a parallel roads going together, right? So
cool.
Yes, and then of course we are evolving. Constant change, and things started to happen. And something that I like to share, how important it is to be very grounded and very and knowing ourselves in a sense of get to know ourselves deeply emotionally and psychologically. And then when we are really grounded, then we can take off, see?
This is a big question, really big question. Exactly what you're saying. How would you guide someone, or what would you say to tell someone how to proceed on this long-term process? This is not just like overnight this is going to happen, right? I mean, what are some of the things people could do to become more self-aware, to get more grounded, you've gone through the process, and now that you teach this, what are some guidelines that you would tell people?
Well,
to this state, this deeper state.
Right. This is a simple question, but the answer is...
Oh, my God. It's like if we had this answer...
It's huge,
easily.
Right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it's like a big one.
Right. It is a real big one, because if someone is telling me, oh, how long did you study this? And I will say, okay, maybe, you know, like 30 years. And
40 lifetimes.
And 48 lifetimes, I would say, and maybe one day weekend. I mean, one day during the weekend, right? And one day you can learn a lot of things. Oh, I can do this, and I can do that, da, 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 and play the crystal ball, and there is a lot more of that, right? So what I will say that I think that passion, the passion moved me through the my life to find the inner truth, to know more about myself, and studying in different schools of self-awareness and psychic development, or I would say intuition, and spending time with shamans and Native Americans, and a constant exploration, right?
Even just doing sound as well, huh?
Plus sound. So I think there's the integration of the exploration of life, right? And of course, I can say, okay, dedication, connectedness to mind, body, spirit, and there are plenty of different modalities and that we can practice to incorporate them, to be grounded. And it's like a life philosophy question, right? Is how we can get, you know, grounded and self-aware. And at the same time, right? So, of course, there are different tools that we can practice, and we can talk about that, too, which we do in class.
It's cool. Really, you know, it occurs to me that also a lot of people that come to the school have already done a good amount of work, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's some not as much as others, but a lot of our students, are like, it's amazing. They're, like, really pretty ripe when they often get here.
Oh, yes. The people that are come to the school, I'm so grateful because I am learning from them. I always feel that they come and they're bringing something really for us to grow. And I'm so grateful for all the people that are come to the school and the students. I remember in my heart each of them, their faces. So I started to teach at the school in 05, I think, 06, 05, probably. So I'm very grateful for all my experience with them, actually.
I'd like to talk more about it, then, about what you do in your classes and stuff. But first, before I get into that, I want to just talk about some of the other things you're doing. You've got your own radio show yourself, don't you?
Yes, I had my spiritual radio show for self-awareness and personal growth in Spanish in the Bay Area. I had the radio show the land radio. I called the land radio, going to the radio station and literally record and or talk live. And I was interviewing different writers from different parts of the world in Spanish. So, and then that became a blog, which is www.inspiracionplanetaria.com. So, and then I started to do, like, webinars and teleseminars. And the land really transformed, of course, in a blog and going into the Internet and flowing and being in harmony with the changes that we all are going through. So that was an amazing experience, and I love to do radio, definitely. One of my passions, one of my thousand passions, I would say.
You do sound at San Francisco General Hospital?
Yes, that is another blessing, David. It was amazing because that just happened also in 05, 06. I don't know how that happened because I never knocked the door. You know, those things are just, you know,
just
the
transported
that,
there one day.
I wasn't just transported, but it's true. You know, it's just those things that come to your path that it was meant to be. And it's a program for a support group for cancer patients, and there are different presenters. And in that time, the director of the program told me, you know, this is the medical field. Maybe we can give another name instead of sound healing. And he said, yeah, we can call stress management music, you know, a little bit more digestible probably for the medical field in that time. And they say, okay, it's going to be one presentation, and then there's going to be an evaluation from the patient, and then if there is a 90%, you know, you come back maybe some other time. I say, okay, great. Well, it's the year 2013, and we keep doing sound healing at General Hospital in this special program for cancer patients, and I'm so grateful that I can do that.
And they allow it to be called sound healing now.
Yes, yes. And we call it healing sound. And this practice is voted and evaluated, and they vote and they want the practice to come back. So I am really, really grateful for that. And I do movement as well. I integrate therapeutic movement and dancing and celebration and work with emotions. And now I'm going to start, actually I already started in the mental health area of General Hospital to do movement, to do dancing and all that for three different groups of patients.
In the mental health department?
The mental health department.
Oh, cool.
So,
cool.
Yes, it's like growing, and it was meant to be. Also, I never knocked the door there. It just happened. You know? So this is like to share with everybody that whatever is for us and whatever we need to do is going to happen. We just have to keep following and listening to our heart and keep doing whatever we need to in order to listen to our inner voice and our heart, because then things come to our own path.
You know, I was in San Francisco General. I had appendicitis a few years ago, and you came and did a treatment on me in the hospital. And, you know, it was really, actually all the instructors came and did treatments, and I got it then. In fact, I thought that maybe that was the reason I needed to go to the hospital and be a patient, was because I just got it how critical, I mean, this is the way it should be. We should have, it should be a healing environment. We should have people doing treatments on each other with voice. We should have bowls. We should, I mean, this should be the whole environment. It's crazy that a hospital is not a healing environment.
Absolutely, David. I also work as a medical interpreter, translating from Spanish to English for, you know, different doctors and psychiatrists. And I go to different hospitals. I'm in the field. And it's amazing how hostile the whole environment is. So cold. And so we're human. Where are the humans? Where's humanity? Where's the holding hands? Where's the doctor that can give a hug to the patient? I don't see that. I don't know what happened in this society. You know, when the doctor's supposed to be the physician that really cares about a human being and for their wellness. But unfortunately, I see people just prescribing medicine and they don't even touch a patient.
Yeah.
So,
God, you know, when you're, I really got it, when I was like totally out of it, you know, really just completely blown open emotionally when you're like after surgery, you know, I was just, had radar for any nurse that would do anything that was emotionally sweet, whether it was just a look or a touch. I mean, I was just so sensitive to it. And so when they would do anything, and some nurses were really, actually really cool. They're just complete open hearts. Other nurses, of course, come just walking in and just do the thing. They don't even look at you, you know. And it was so clear when you're in that state, love is like so major. And when you get love or any healing energy caring for you, it quadruples the healing process. Your whole body just soaks it up, and instead of, because most of the time when you're in this state, what you're doing is focus on the buzz of the pain. You know,
yes.
Your only focus is like, eh. And the second someone comes in and does, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. Then your body goes, okay, I'm going to heal now. That's what I got when I was there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is proven words and touch and frequencies can shift the DNA. It's proven, scientifically proven that, right? So we can do so much. I also worked with Alzheimer patients in the past, and I was in elderly homes, and there is so much love needed, and love is such a healing tool, right? So I was working with this Alzheimer patient, and I was singing to her. She was from Argentina. And, of course, you know, I was connecting to her, and I was singing all these different songs. And she connected, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was singing with me. Mm-hmm. So I had the most powerful experience. For me, she was my guru. This Alzheimer's patient was my guru. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about intention and frequencies and sound, and many times happened with her. Her name was Estela. Many times happened that I would just...
get chills when you say this.
I'm sorry? You have chills.
I'm getting chills that you're saying.
Yes, oh my gosh, I have chills too, because she really was my guru. I was with her for a long, long time. And in one time I say a prayer for her in Spanish, and she remembered. And she was in tears. She held my hand, but she said, that is something really good. That, what you're saying right now is something really good, I know. And she held my hand, and she was crying. So, and then I have this communication with her with intention. I was behind her, and I was thinking, I was just thinking. I didn't say anything. Would you like to have some water? And then she turned and she said, I don't want any water. I never say a word.
Wow.
So that was amazing, you know, because I realized that I was connecting with her at the soul level, at the frequency, that she was perceiving something else that maybe other people didn't perceive, because we are so divorced because of all the noises that are in this society that we cannot really listen to the soul, right?
Right.
So, and like that experience, like sending the intention, and then she answered the question. That happened with the child that with autism, same thing. He was actually, we were in the big room downstairs in the other location at the school, and he was going to touch the electricity, you know, in the wall.
The kid with autism you work with?
Yes, and he was trying to touch, and I was behind him, and I thought, take your hand from there, you know, honey. And he, instantly, in that moment, he just took his hand from there, you know. And it, but he didn't see me. I was behind. So I realized that he was perceiving the frequency. He was perceiving something else. The thoughts, or the intention, or something else. Very powerful. Connecting a little bit of, you know, we are talking about sound and the power of intention and the power of the soul. And, you know, after doing sound for so many years, I started to really perceive more and more the silent, when we really start listening to the silence. So the more sound I do, I realize that more in silence I am. I don't know if I can explain that, you know, like really perceiving the frequencies of the silent.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, someone put it, they said, Lord, give me the stillness.
Mm-hmm.
enough peace to be able to perceive things in a really subtle way.
Yes, and connecting to that, this is, there is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen. And that is written by Plumy.
Nice. I think we've kind of entered a zone here that might be good to elaborate a little further with some sound.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Would you like to, you want to do a little sound, either based on this, what we're just talking about, or based on our intention for today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Do you want me, thank you, and thank you everybody that is listening now, and we are connected through sound. So the frequencies of the soul to connect to the heart. So it's like a bladed crystal ball. And please, everybody that are listening right now, if you want to just close your eyes and find your own meditation space and enjoy this moment. And breathe with an infinite inhale and infinite exhale. And just listen to your soul. And exhale, infinite exhale, and let go. And just allowing the moment to listen to your soul. Oh. just acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me, all of you, to be close. It doesn't matter the distance and where you are.
It's amazing. There's so many times when you're singing that it's like different beings. You know, I've heard like Native Americans through you. I remember when we were doing the Pachelbel Canon, and this little 6-year-old starts coming through you, and I'm like, I have to look through the window of the recording studio, and it's like, someone else in there?
Yes, that was very, it's interesting how to explain that process. Because that child showed up in the moment that we were recording. And it's interesting, you become the observer. Because, I mean, Sylvina still seeing that. And then the child is singing through my body. So I always say this is not really, you know, people say, oh, what a nice voice, but I had a hard time to say, well, actually, it comes through, but it's something else. And sometimes I don't know how to explain the process of you sensing and feeling the presence of being, and then you start connecting and feel the resonance and allowing that sound to come through.
It was so profound at the time because it's exactly goes right to what you were talking about earlier, the difference between performance and actually just channeling. Because I remember you said that this child, when he came through you, was trying so hard to get it right.
Yes.
And it's the classic aspect of performance. To get it right. And when you said that, I remember just breaking down and crying. It's just like, that's like, we're all often, so many people are trying so hard to be good or get it right. And if you just let go of that fear energy and let it flow through you, that's the whole deal. And it was
absolutely.
So, oh, it was just like, I just had so much compassion for that child in all of us that is told that you need to do things perfect.
Yes, absolutely. That was very, very powerful experience. And mentioning, connecting with what you just said about perfection and the fears of being perfect and everything that to share with everybody. And of course, we know that sound healing is freedom of expression. And it's not about nice singing. So there are different aspects of sound and the voice and sound therapy and sound healing. And then when we flow with energies coming through, and then if we have the structure to create melodies and sing, we can connect all that. And then, of course, when we do emotional work, and then when we do just sound healing and toning and using the power of our voice, it's about freedom of expression.
It's funny. On the first class, I always tell people we have one really strict rule around here. There's never any bad sounds. There's never a sound out of pitch. It's all perfect. That's the strict rule.
Exactly. Absolutely. And then it's interesting that sometimes we go into the other side, you know, that sometimes it's like, okay, I can do the weird sound, so I'm a sound healer. I can do like, but actually, there's something deeper. It's the intention. It's not about what kind of sound, or, oh, I can do the weird sound. But if the person is not connected, it's just a sound, uh-huh. Right? Well, but that's why the intention is so important. Because there is a very delicate membrane there with, oh, I can do sound, I'm a sound healer, and can do all these, you know, different sounds. But the most important thing is the connection to the intention. So like the tuning fork, right? So that is the most important thing in sound healing, to become that, to become the practice, to become that frequency, and then we are resonating. If not, it's just like, I don't know, let's say a medication.
Like a performance, in a way.
It could be a performance. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Even
or
if
just
it's
coolness.
The weird.
It's like cool, it's like interesting and unique, but it's not, you know, connecting to that energy that is the flow of spirit or nature.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
Source.
Absolutely. So it could be any kind of sound or toning or singing, but the connectedness and the intention is the most important.
So tell us, give us kind of like, tell us about what you do in the class. If you can just give a bit of an overview or process a bit.
Well, in class, we learn different techniques to release physical pain. Or, for instance, we learn how to work with the psychophysical effects of breathing, chanting, and three forms of mantras. We work with vocal techniques and the inner sound, right, and exploration of the voice. And, of course, we go very, very deep into psychics and to our psychological history, and we work through that. And then I like to combine different breathing techniques and movement, and basically, you know, when we do the sound meditation and to tone into the body and how to release emotions and how to release pain and get into a deep, deep state where we have experience of space. So, and then I was thinking the other day, I said, if the atoms are 99% space,
what's
and
that?
Then the atoms, you know, is at 99.99999% space.
Uh-huh.
So, and we are having experiences of space, pure consciousness. So basically, there's many different aspects in the class where we combine breathing techniques, movement, mindfulness. And I've been doing this since I started to teach at the institute and before as well, to use blindfold and breathing and sound and music and all that combination. So my respect for the word shaman, I have a tremendous respect for the real, from the shamans, that some of the students experienced and said, okay, this is like shamanic work. So that's why I call it, you know, shamanic work, but definitely there's a very intense, profound process.
You know, there's a part of everything you said about your classes, there's a part that it's so hard to explain. What you do a lot in the class is you'll simply play the bowl and using your voice, not only the singing, like what you just did, but with the tone of your voice, you bring people into this deep trance state. It's almost trance is like not a good enough word for it, but it's kind of like a trance where it's just you're in this deep state, and the bowl helps do it, but your voice, and then you start singing. And a lot of your workshop is just like this unbelievable space that you get people into, that where people feel it's like they're in theta. You could describe it as being in theta, where they can access the subconscious, you know. And that's why such major things happen in your class. And it's so hard to explain that, because it's such, it's just a total experience as well.
Yeah, I will. I will have to have a also. I will have a hard experience. I mean, difficulty to explain, literally, you know, what really happened. You know, it's like,
With
I cannot explain with the mind.
Right.
I just right.
Exactly.
Or like giving a technique. Okay, for this to happen is, you know, it just happened. The only thing that I know that I have to be connected, right? We cannot give what we don't have. So, and then we have the sympathetic law of sound, right? So when an instrument, we have two instruments or two tuning forks, and we make sound one of the instruments, the other one starts vibrating in the same frequency, right? So, the only thing that I can say is just, if I am not connected, I feel that nothing really is happening. You know, it's the same thing, like, let's say, to make it simple, a pianist, you know, we have a musician, they play the piano, and he can play the piano, right, on the stage. But when they have the emotion, when they are really, really, really connected, we feel something. We have chills. Because that person is an instrument of reflecting something that is coming through.
Right. You know, it's interesting. I have to say, it's even deeper, and it's kind of what you're saying here as well, that, you know, people can be totally in the emotion, but this is what one of our students said last semester or a couple of semesters ago. She said, Sylvina walks her talk. She is a living example of sound healing. She is. So it's like when somebody like yourself lives their life in this deep connectedness state as much as they possibly can, and really is really just in that state a lot, when you get into a healing situation or a classroom situation, then the depth of what comes through is so much more. You know, because there's other people that can go into this state, and it's not the what they live. And I really believe that's true. I just know, because I know you. It's just so, I mean, it's all the work you've done that's brought you into this state to make it so that you can, it's like you're on the edge of the cliff. You're on the edge of the cliff, and you're just ready to jump off because you've done your work. I don't know if that's a good way to put it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because it brings some clarity for me. I appreciate that. No, but what I can share is if I have to experience everything. I cannot just repeat what someone else said, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if I have a meditation written, there is a difference when we read a meditation. Right, I say, okay, we cannot do that. It's like, good, okay, close your eyes and just da-da-da-da. But we have to go through. I have the feeling that the way to give, if we have it, we can give it. So
there's like the basic resonance. It's like the best way to lead somebody into any space is to go there yourself.
Exactly. So first, we need to experience everything. And then we speak from truth. I have to experience everything. Then I can act and speak from my own truth. I cannot share something that I cannot experience in my life. So, and then I accept it. I say, okay, I went through so many things in my life that I share with people. And now, connected to God, say, like, oh, I understand. I understand now, because I can share this with them. Now I have to go through things, so I understand now that I can share that experience. There was one time in my life that I was going through a tremendous, difficult time, and I decided to do, I will call it like sound surgery. So I stay in my house, and I say, I'm going to be confronting this. I'm going to be using this tool that I say that is so wonderful and powerful. I have to do it myself. I have to experience and go through. So I was doing my crystal ball, and I think that it was for, I don't know how many hours, but first I was really angry about what happened. Then I was in touch with the sadness. Then I say, yes, I'm frustrated. And then it's like that self quest, you know, and understanding what happened. And then I got into that unconditional love and the space of understanding and stillness. So then I can share with people. Mm-hmm. If I really, really went through my own experience. Mm-hmm. I was at the dentist last year, and they were doing, like, surgery, and it was, very intense. But I was awake, and I was doing sound. Mm-hmm. So, and then the assistant, his assistant said, I think she's singing. What is she doing? They were talking to me. And I tell you, I was at the dentist, and I had the most mystical experience, because...
You're on drugs.
Yes, my sound drug.
Oh, that's
absolutely
cool.
It was,
oh, this is cool.
It was amazing. I said, okay, I have to tone. I have to experience this. And I was awake, and because they were so busy doing whatever they were doing. And then all of a sudden, there was music playing, you know, in the office, in the dentist's office. And it was talking something about the spirit. And I was having this amazing sound experience, toning, because I didn't, of course, I had some pain going on, and I didn't like it to be there at all, but I was toning, I was singing, and I was so concentrated in the singing and the sound with my mouth open that I didn't care, that I started to see lights, and all of a sudden it was so amazing, the synchronicity of the music talking about something like, oh, I'm having a mystical experience, something like that. It was like, oh my gosh, I was in joy, total joy.
This is excellent, you know, because when I was in the hospital, I just learned something that was really, really helpful. You know, when I was in the hospital, even before then, I found that if I, like, made sound really loudly, you know, like screamed, I would never feel any pain, you know. And so and when I was in the hospital, I would scream or make sound really loudly whenever they would, like, poke me or pull the tape off the IV, you know, the masking tape off the IV was what hurt the most. and I would feel no pain, and the doctor came in and said, well, first of all, the nurses said, Dave, you got to stop this. You're scaring people down the hallway. It's just for pulling tape off my arm, right? And the doctor comes in, and the doctor says, you know, I said, well, whenever I make sound, I don't feel pain. And he says, well, that's because the pain receptors can only handle so much information, and when you make sound, there's no more room to feel the pain. And I thought, oh, cool. So this has been really helpful. But every time I've done it, I've made, like, screaming sounds, and it never occurred to me to just simply sing and make sweet sounds when I'm in pain.
Exactly. I was thinking. So it's like, wow, this is an amazing experience as well. So your experience, and, you know, when we are, and this is connected to the basic sound healing, using our voices. When we are children, we laugh, we scream, we express. We are at the hospital, right. We don't like it, we cry, right? And we are so happy because I'm going to get a lollipop and I'm going to just jump, and, right? And then we don't do that anymore, right? So, of course, if I was at the dentist's office and I started screaming, they're going to be like, okay, you know. But I was sounding, and it was not really loud. I was just putting the intention and singing. So,
cool.
Anyways, this
That's
is,
really
I
cool.
think, a, this is really, you know, amazing experiences that we get that we can share.
Well, let's end. Well, do you want to share your contact info before we do a final little? I was thinking we could do a little sound of joy.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You want me to give me contact information now?
Yeah, if you want to share.
Absolutely. So, yes, they can find me in Silvina Vergara in Facebook. Also, you can find me at silvinavergara.com. And then silvinavergara@hotmail. This is the easiest. I got another one, but Silvina Vergara. So V-E-R-G-A-R-A. So probably everybody's going to see my name written there. So, all right.
Cool.
Let's be ready for another. Does the crystal ball and the voice sounds good?
I can hardly hear the crystal ball at all, but, you know, I think on the cell phone it's just not going to come through very well.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's but the voice is up. The voice is good.
Okay,
so
great.
So we could do it together, though. You want to do the sound of joy together?
Yeah, sure. And also, what I was going to say something about to let people know that I'm in my cell phone. So anyway, so
cool.
All right. Okay.
So we only have about 1 minute, so we'll just do a short little. Little thing. Okay.
All right. I just guide everybody a little bit just to recall a memory of joy. Remember what brings joy to you and connect to that feeling, to that emotion. Anything that brings joy, just something simple that you really, really enjoyed and did so much joy. All right.
And you want to make the sound of the joy?
Yes. And everybody can express any sound that expresses joy. All right? Hey! Oh, hey!
Everybody
enjoy.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.